Most election years in Arizona include a long list of ballot initiatives for voters to give a thumbs up or thumbs down to. The coronavirus pandemic has deeply affected that for this fall, as gathering signatures in person, which is required for propositions, is extremely difficult when voters are either at home or practicing social distancing. Regardless of that, the push for direct democracy remains strong in Arizona and neighboring California. But many elected officials are not as excited, since they're not especially inclined to give up their influence or power. USC professor John Matsusaka writes about that in his book, Let the People Rule: How Direct Democracy Can Meet the Populist Challenge. John, you make the point that Americans may have a blind spot when it comes to direct democracy. How would you describe that?
This idea of voting on issues, having voters direct vote on propositions. Those of us who live in initiative states like Arizona or like California, where I am, we're used to that. We do it all the time. It's totally foreign to us in the United States that you would vote on national issues, because our national government has no provision at all for this. But actually, we're an outlier. Almost everybody in the world does it. So I think we're in a really weird situation in that we were 250 years ago the pioneer of democracy. The people can rule themselves. Look at what we did. And everybody copied us in some sense and said, yeah, this can actually work. We've now become in a very strange situation where we're behind the curve. Other countries are trailblazing forward and expanding their democracies, making them more democratic. And we become at the back end of this. And I think that's created a little bit of a blind spot to us, because we're so proud of our institutions. We look at our federal constitution and we say, well, of course, you would never have national votes on issues. But I think we're sort of missing the fact that if you start looking around the world, essentially everybody else does it. People like it and it works reasonably well.
John, there's almost a fear among many Americans when they hear the term populist, especially over the last few years. Does that make sense to you? And why are we seeing more so-called populists of late?
Populists are coming out because they're saying, we're nervous. We feel like we're losing control of our government. And what the beginning of the book is basically saying is that sometimes these people are dismissed. They're saying, well, you guys are just, you know, you're anti-globalist, or you're racist, or you just lost your job and you just can't adapt to the modern world. And there may be some element of that, but I think that there's also a very real significant element that people are tapping into something that's happened real in the way we govern ourselves in this country. And it's that we've morphed our government and made it less popular. And so maybe we can try to put some popular parts back into it.
Are there enough Americans at this point who are more focused on just going about their daily activity? And when they hear about a push for a certain measure or a certain type of category of reform, that it does make them uncomfortable, more because even though we hear that, you know, democracy is not easy and democracy can be messy, people don't really want to think of it that way. It almost feels as though even this system, which may be working against many people and they may not even know it, it's something that is familiar.
Yeah, for sure. There's no reason to break something that's working. Democracy is never going to be perfect. And I think people are understanding of that. And they understand that sometimes, you know, it's messy. Where I think we get a problem is that at some point it seems to be like it's just failing. And when you have a lot of people that think the entire system is failing, then the danger, I don't think we're in the middle of the danger situation right now, but other countries have gotten to the danger point where the people just lose faith in the system. And then they start to elect candidates who want to tear down the system. In the U.S., we've actually been very good at adapting our democracy over time. The structure we have right now is nothing at all like what the founders set up for us. We've made it more democratic over time. We allow people of color to vote. We allow the voters to directly elect U.S. senators, and on and on and on. So we've always changed. Hopefully, I don't think it takes a crisis for us to get there, but I think it does take people feeling that there's something not quite right and the desire to make it better. And then we should reasonably not change things unless we're reasonably confident that the alternative is better.
Late 90s, Arizona voters passed the Voter Protection Act, which made it almost impossible for lawmakers to change initiatives that had been passed by voters. And yet there's been a gradual sort of effort to chip away at that. Does something like the Voter Protection Act indicate that voters see that there is that disconnect between themselves and many lawmakers, and the feeling is that is a way to have direct democracy, even as those in power sort of want to chip away at it? Even at the same time, they're supposed to be elected as our representatives.
I think opinion surveys are really clear. Voters just don't trust their elected officials to have their interest. In almost any state, if you ask people, who do you trust more to make laws, the legislature or the people, you typically get about 3-1, people will say the people. So it's very clear that people are skeptical of their elected officials to some degree, and that's been true for a long, long time. When it comes to direct democracy, I think that's it's well merited, and the people have been very protective. They understand that legislators, maybe understandably, they don't like to have their power taken away by the voters making decisions, and so they tend to, if you let them, they chip away at initiative laws, and that's we see that state after state, not just in Arizona.
John, do we trust ourselves and do the founding fathers trust us or no?
So this is a really interesting question. Do we trust ourselves to make good decisions? And that, I think, is the heart of what it comes down to for direct democracy. It's also the heart of what it comes down to for democracy. The founding fathers were very conflicted on this. They really believed that democracy in some form is what the country needed. They thought that having a king or some autocrat make decision was a bad form of government. But at the same time, they were very nervous about, let me say, common people. So they absolutely trusted themselves and other elites, but they were very nervous about the common people. So they wrote a constitution for the federal government that prevented power from accumulating in elected officials, but it didn't really turn it over entirely to ordinary people either. So that's why they had these things like you had to own property to vote back then. That's why the voters didn't elect their governors typically. They didn't elect US senators. That all had to run through these other mechanisms. We still have vestiges of that, like the Electoral College, where the voters don't actually vote for the president. They vote for these other people who then go vote for the president. And that was originally set up because the elites who built the Constitution wanted to still have the final say. They wanted to let the voters choose them, but still have a final say. So we have this conflict, which is baked into our system from the very beginning, that the founders were kind of conflicted on that. The voters themselves have no doubt. The voters trust themselves to make decisions. And we have opinion survey after opinion survey where the voters say they think it would be a great idea for voters to make decisions, even on things like national issues. Like if you ask people, should voters be able to be involved in important national issues, you'll get by about 2-to-1 majorities, voters in the US will say yes. And that's actually true in almost every country in the world. So ordinary people believe they're capable of governing. There's no doubt about that.
That is John Matsusaka. He is a professor at USC and also author of the book we've been talking about, Let the People Rule: How Direct Democracy Can Meet the Populist Challenge. John, great to talk with you. Stay well. Thanks again.
Thanks so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.